So, we're getting close to a certain time of the year that's a busy time of the year.
Christmas?
No.
We are getting closer to that. But there's something before that.
4th of July? Thanksgiving?
Nope.
You said old fashioned.
Yeah, we're going to talk. We are going to talk about open house tonight. And so I want each of you to tell me what open house is. So if you don't, well, well, hold on. We're going to go around, but we're talking about our church open house, which is, you may call it old-fashioned days. Yes, but the yes, Abby. You can go first, and we'll go around the room, and if somebody steals what you were going to say, you can just add something else, okay?
Have fun rewording this. It's where...
Okay. The challenge is on.
No, I'm not... it's where we open up our church to the public. Not like it's already not open to the public, but like our town, and we show them what we do, and we give them a good time.
Okay, Jason.
Yeah, mine is a statement. It's not—it's a strong word, but it's a. You're letting people know that we're open and we're showing them what it's about. It gives them an opportunity to do it if they're not scared, like to see our stuff, to see what our church is all about. If they're scared, they won't come on regular church, but they will for open.
Okay.
Serving.
Hold on. Sierra, your turn.
So welcoming an atmosphere for people to come in and see the church for more than what it means to church. Is. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So welcoming. And maybe revealing.
All right. Audrey?
It's an opportunity for for the public to come in to see what we do, and we show them all the kindness of what being a Christian can like.
Okay.
It's not all like...
All right, Alma. Okay, so it's
more than church. In, we'll put in parentheses, right? Or in quotations.
No, you can't go again. I have
another one.
No.
Great. Well, maybe we'll get, if someone else doesn't say it, we can come back to you. Paige. Okay. If you were to use one word for that, for what you just said, what would you use? For all those things that you say that you do that day, what's one word that you would use?
Huh? Wait. Welcoming. That's what I just said.
Hold on. Generous? Okay, that's good.
Everyone. Oh, sure. Honey, we had a church.
There's no more words left for me to use.
That's a good one.
You can be good.
Okay.
Emma. Our church is a good atmosphere.
Okay. Camry.
I have no idea.
You want me to come back to you?
Yeah, come back to me.
Cameron, what do you think? Have you been to Open House? Okay.
It's all up there.
Alright, Evan?
He's just coughing. Oh boy, there's not a lot of words left to use because they call something. So, it is a date taken out of our schedule where we receive the general population and allow them to experience us as a whole.
Okay, I will use experience.
First-hand experience.
Defining better the welcoming.
Yes, I said I'm elaborating.
Okay.
Why?
That's good.
Because I'm
Camry.
Okay,
did you forget it?
Making wait, hold up. Okay, making people feel like more comfortable.
Welcoming. I'm just elaborating on what I said.
That's okay.
Y'all wanted something.
Hold on. That I said at the very beginning that it was okay to do that, right, Paige? Okay.
So, maybe like showing unity?
Yes.
Okay, so those are all really good things. And I think you guys have a pretty good picture of it. So, really, Open House is exactly what the name tells you, right? Right. You're inviting everybody to come and see what whatever you are offering is, to find out what it is. So we're opening our church. And when we say church,
also
is that just the building?
No.
It's the community of people.
It's the aura.
Well, how does the Bible define the church?
The church is the people.
The people, yeah. All right?
That's the thing, what I said.
The building has people on it, but
no.
Same glass windows.
What type of people, though? What do they all share together?
Religion.
Okay, so if you are Buddhist, you're part of the church?
No, they share the same religion as each other.
Okay. What? But I'm just trying to show you that religion is a pretty broad term, right?
I meant the specific one that we have.
Is it like the religion that must not be named, or
Christian religion?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. How about followers of Christ?
Yeah.
What? Okay. So we are opening up to the public to come and see what our specific geological location of the body of Christ is about. Okay? And we are exposing our character. Okay, who we are, how we operate through what I would say is a guise of old-fashioned things. Anybody know what the word guise means?
It's like you guys.
A trick.
No.
You're tricking people.
Not quite.
Wait, use it in the sentence again.
Is it like disguise?
Use it?
So that's a, that uses guise as the root. So what is a disguise then? What are you trying to do with a disguise?
You're hiding yourself.
So it's
you're lying.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Well, you're hiding, right? You're trying to be some. Trying to portray something that you are not. Very good, Cameron. It is. So, but this is always the negative of something, right?
So guise is good.
It can be. So here's how the dictionary defines it. Okay, guise means that you have an external form or a presentation of something. You're presenting something. Okay, so we use old-fashioned days. So we dress up old-fashioned. We do old-fashioned crafts. We eat old-fashioned things. And why do we do that? Why do we pick? Why pick that? Why do that?
People like food.
Because it's fun.
It is fun, but there's lots of fun things.
That's true.
Well, I mean, the origin of it is look at our church building, right? It's old, right? It's very old. It has history, local history, things that really happened, not just coming up with some like general history. So it's a build on that. But what else about old things? Why do people like old things?
Because it's not
common. Okay, rarity, that's a part of it, because things start to deteriorate and pass away. Okay. Why?
It's nostalgic.
Nostalgic. That's what I was looking for.
Nostalgic.
Well, you should have said it louder. Madison, right? Don't be afraid to say something. So what is it that feeling when you feel nostalgic about something? You guys probably don't have a lot of stuff you feel nostalgic about yet, but you probably have some things.
I have some stuff. I have a lot of things.
Like what? Okay, old TV shows, right? Something you haven't seen in a while. And it brings back what?
Memories.
Emotions, remembering good things, okay? So, that's just, part of it is that it's just fun, right? People enjoy that kind of thing. It's not, we could have picked other things, but it just happens to work for the group of people that go here at this church. All right. It's not the only way to have an open house where you try to reach out to the public. But Jesus did this same kind of thing, though, using a guise or using something that had another meaning to it. Okay. What do we call those things?
Parables.
Okay. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. And we're not going to look at a specific parable, but we're going to look at instead what Jesus said about parables. So this is after, and you may be familiar with the parable of the sower and the seed that Jesus told. Well, this is afterwards the disciples said, hey, we didn't get what you were trying to get at with that parable. What do you mean by it? Chapter 13, verse 10 through 13, we're going to read. Evan, could you start with verse 10?
Yeah. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables?
He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know what mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. And whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken.
Yes, that's all right. Okay, so why did Jesus speak in parables? Why not just come right out and instead of using that story, just say, there's four different types of people, and this is how they approach the gospel. Abby.
It's more relatable.
Okay, one is it's more relatable, right? You use something that everybody can relate to, all right? Why else?
Can't. It becomes easier to understand your story.
Okay. But what did he say? What did he do it so that everybody could understand it?
No.
The children.
People who don't hear or see. Don't hear or see.
Okay. What's that mean?
They don't listen to certain types of talk, maybe.
No.
It simplifies it.
It does simplify it.
They don't understand.
He says that he does it kind of on purpose, so then some people won't get it. Why would he do that? Why would he want some people not to understand the parable?
So the other people that do understand it feel special.
No. Nope. That is not why. Okay. It doesn't sound right. All right. You think, well, I thought Jesus wanted everybody. He does. But he is speaking through parables to speak to people who are looking for the truth, that are hungry and looking after spiritual things. Okay? So here's kind of how it works, is that some people look at it and they hear this, they hear the parable, or they come here to Old Fashioned Days and they see the stuff and they just say, wow, that was really fun, that was enjoyable, but they didn't get anything beyond that out of it. And then there's other people who do get something out of it. So here's just an example. Or not a actually happened example, but something that might help to relate it. So the choir has a song that you guys sing, not every year, but some years, maybe some of you have sung it. It's the one where it's a gift to be simple, it's a gift to be free, it's a gift to come down to where you ought to be. Okay, so it's a nice song, right? You guys sing it in a round,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
It sounds good, it's fun, it's upbeat, it's simple, people like it, okay? And some people will hear that and say, oh, that's such a nice song, wow, those voices really blend together well, they do such a nice job, that's great. And then they might just forget about it the next day. You know, it was just nice in the moment. But there might be other people there who are sitting there and listening to it, and they might listen to the words, and they might think, and then they might take that and link it together by watching what everybody's doing and say, oh, these people serving the food, the band members, the crafts people, and they're all bowing and bending. Or they're taking and giving in harmony. They're working together. They're enjoying it. They're embodying that song. And they might see it as something more, something deeper, okay? Because they are looking for that, all right? God uses things like that to have an impact. So this type, I guess, of method at Open House is an extremely meek method. What do I mean by meek?
Approachable.
Moses.
Moses, all right, tell me why. Tell me more. He was. What made him meek?
He had like a low self-esteem. Well, he was humble.
Okay, yes, he was humble. He did. What else? Did that mean he was weak, though?
No.
No.
Meek is not
weak. Meek is not weak. All right. Instead, it's a choice to what? How about it's maybe a choice to be a servant? To serve people. Although Moses led a million people out of Egypt, he was the servant. His attitude was being a servant to all. Okay, so this method is instead, it's not forceful. It's not in any way forceful. But is instead allowing, it allows the Lord to work on people's hearts. It's using you and using how you're acting, your example, to work on people's hearts. You're allowing Him to do that work because only He can touch people's hearts. So, that may sound like it's easy then to allow the Lord to work, to do the work on somebody's heart. How many people think that it's easy in that method? Anybody? Is it easy to do it that way?
Yeah. Wait.
It's not easy to do it anyway.
Okay, it's not, all right? Why is it not, though? Do you know why it's not? Or do you just have a feeling? Okay, so so think about this, first of all. How much prep work goes into open house?
Quite a bit.
A week's worth.
Yeah. Not a week's worth, more than
yes.
A week's worth.
2 weeks' worth.
4 weeks.
Let me ask you this. When do they plant the flowers and when does Daphne water?
All the time.
All the time. More like probably once a day. So there's a lot of prep work, all right? So there's a lot of physical effort that goes in, right? But I'm really not worried too much about the physical effort. That's important. Somebody's got to do it. We can't just not do the work. But that physical effort, putting that in, only goes so far. And that will have zero effect. All that physical hard work of putting it on, doing all the things, the organization and whatnot, will have no effect except without this. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to look at verses 22 and through 26.
What chapter?
Galatians chapter 5.
Verse what?
Verse 22 is where we're going to start.
22.
So, Emma, you can start with 22 when you get there.
One, I'm already
read.
Huh? I'll read
it.
What verse is that?
Chapter 22. Or, verse 5, chapter 22.
Chapter
5, verse 22 through 26. Okay, so what do we have here? The fruits of the Spirit, right? Everybody learn about the fruits of the Spirit at some point?
Yes.
Yeah, I did.
Got them down?
Yeah, I do.
In your life?
No.
They're in my brain.
Well, good. I'm glad they're in your brain. That's an important start, right? So let's look at, we're going to go through these. One by one here, and we're going to look at them because these are the things that are that show what your spirit is, okay? That's why they call it the fruit of the Spirit. If you have a tree outside and it has apples on it, what kind of tree is it?
It's
an apple tree. And an apple tree does not grow pears. It doesn't grow grapes. It doesn't grow oranges or bananas. It can only grow apples. Okay? So, this is saying that you are, if you are a Christian, these are the fruits that you will bear, that you will show to people. Okay? So, we're going to go through these one by one. And these are the things, and we're going to look at through the lens of open house, okay? We're going to look at open house and see how the fruits of the Spirit how they will speak to open house, okay? And though by fruits of the Spirit, that means that it's of God, okay? That's how you know that you have His Spirit in you, all right? And let's start with love first. How do you define love? We talked about this a little bit ago in one of our lessons. But lots of people try to define love, right? It's like one of, sometimes, it's like one of the number one things that stories and literature and movies and songs and everything is about, right? So you should know how to define it then, right?
Oh, well,
culture.
So what is love? What did you say, Camry?
Wait, never mind. That's bad. That's a bad definition. Never mind.
Okay.
It's a feeling.
No.
It's not a feeling.
No, we talked about this. It's just a feeling.
You can get feelings from it, but that is not what it is. Okay, did everybody hear what Abby just said?
No.
Go ahead, say it again, Abby.
Letting go is before yourself.
I want to know what love is.
Okay. Is love is never, ever selfish, all right? Because if you're selfish, who do you love?
Yourself.
Yourself, right?
Which is okay sometimes, but not every time. Love yourself,
I would say a better way to think about it is okay to value yourself through how Jesus defines your value. Okay? He holds you as valuable, but loving yourself should not be your primary goal. Okay? Why do I say that?
Because we all do it. Love others. First.
Well, what did Jesus command you to do?
Love thy neighbor, says you love thyself.
Love your enemies.
But here's an issue. If you don't...
Hey.
But everybody naturally loves their self, Abby.
Not
you're,
always.
Yes. You're born caring about yourself.
Guys,
it can change.
Very quickly once you hit middle school. Just like you're like,
okay, it can change, but the point is that you are to treat others the way that you would choose the best things for yourself. Okay, so putting it simply is that you are going to put others ahead of yourself. You are going to sacrifice what you would want for somebody else. Yes, so... What was that, Audrey?
If there's one piece of pie left, and it's you, and it's someone you've never seen before in your life, you should give it to the other person because it's tiny.
That would be very loving. That would be very loving. A very simple way.
You get no pie because you go around and you have to do stuff all day.
Right. So you are sacrificing that, right?
I'm saying.
Evan's saying he didn't come to open house to eat pie.
Well, I mean, I would have an opportunity.
Okay, so let's go to the next one. What's our next one in the verse?
Joy.
Okay. Oh, easy, maybe. So, this one is important because a lot of these other ones you cannot, you just can't do without joy. Or I should say, if they don't have joy in them, these other ones will fall flat. They will have no impact if you don't have joy in doing it. All right? So, let's go to another one just to prove that. If you exercise patience, all right? Anybody ever been patient before?
I've tried a couple of times.
At least once? Okay, have you ever been patient, but you were grumpy while you were patient?
Oh, yes.
That was the doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I think we've all been there, right? You were grumpy about being patient. So let me ask you this. Were you really being patient?
No.
No.
No. No.
Well, you were being angry while you were being patient, yeah.
Let's divide it up. Let's divide it up. Camry, you explain first.
Because you don't have to be happy and be patient. You can be like,
you know,
mad. So be patient.
No, because you're like throwing a temper tantrum. That's like the opposite.
Yeah, I was a temper tantrum.
Well.
Okay.
You still have to show that you're angry.
Okay. That's where I guess you could say you come into kind of a gray area, right? Where maybe nobody knows that you're angry or you're grumpy about it. Right. Okay. So maybe we would say that in your heart you weren't being very patient, but you still chose to act in a patient way, right? That's pretty good. Evan says, good enough.
Well, not good enough, but it's a good start.
Okay. If it's not in your heart, and instead you are forcing yourself, and it's not embedded inside your spirit, that attitude of patience, and that you are not loving and content with that person taking 45 minutes to make a flower bouquet on open house, or a bracelet, or can't find all the beads that they want for their bracelet, or just can't forge a hook. If you're not being joyful about it, if you don't have that love inside of you and it's not coming out in joy, are you being patient? Not very well. So, but I will say this though, what Camry said, is that if you still feel impatient inside, but you still make yourself be patient on the outside, and you just eke out a little bit of love and joy to try to show somebody. That is far better than having zero patience that anybody can see. That's not your goal. That's not what you're going to be like, good enough. That's how I'm getting. But that's the kind of thing where you are slowly grooming yourself. You are trying to make the change to say, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to change my attitude to match how I'm acting on the outside. And God sees that kind of effort that you put forth. If it's real effort inside, if you're putting an effort to try to change your spirit about those things, He will help you with that, all right? So, let's go on to the next one. What do we have next? Peace. Okay. This is one that is kind of instantly evident when you don't show it. People instantly see it. A lot of times people don't recognize peace when it's there, but when it's not there, you instantly know it. What's the opposite of peace?
Chaos.
Anger.
Chaos, that's good.
And contentment.
Okay, I see what Jason's getting at. A peace that passes understanding is what Jason's getting at, being content with something. That's, but there's another side of that is that peace among people, right?
Yeah.
How about the word strife?
Strife.
I like that one. Your mom does?
Yes.
Okay, good. So people right away, when there is strife, that sticks out to them. And that's what they tend to notice right away. It's one of those things where when you're doing the right thing, nobody notices. But when you're doing the wrong thing, everybody sees it. And that's an important part. That's something that people have for a long time made a comment about people at East Shelby on Open House and other events as well. That's something that they always say, that everybody works so well together. They're all so happy together. And I'm sure, I know that's not always the case, but it's clear that we have worked hard to make it that way as much as we can, as much as possible. So peace is an important part there of working together. Okay, so next one.
Long
suffering, which is with patience. All right, now we use patience. But I like the word long suffering when I'm thinking about this. Why? Yes, because it really, patience, you just picture the word patience, or you think that's what my mom told me all the time. But when you read long suffering, you instantly know what it's talking about. What's it mean?
Suffering for a long time.
Suffering for a long time. I don't know about doing nothing about it. Sometimes you have to have, though, you have to have the wisdom to know that. No, to know that God is doing something. He might be working on you. Or he might have a better timing or something, okay? So, has anybody ever suffered on Open House?
It's really hot sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to have patience with the public people.
Okay, sometimes you need patience with other people.
Because they are just making you long suffer.
Especially if some of you have ever done any retail type work. That's kind of long suffering too, right? You need to be patient with people that you're serving. So we already kind of talked about this, right? When we talked about joy, that's an important thing to have along with it. But a lot of times you'll see at Open House that people kind of act entitled. You know what that means?
Uh-huh. They think they're a special guest.
This is outrageous.
They think they deserve everything.
That's the word. They think they deserve it. And that's okay. Right? Because what are we there to do?
Serve.
To give of ourselves. It's okay. It doesn't matter if somebody comes up and takes 5 pies and only puts 1 penny in. We don't care, right? We're not there to get all the pennies.
Stop. No.
Right? Now, that's funny when Jason says that, because we've created a culture where that's ridiculous, that nobody would say that, right? If that was, say, at a business or maybe even another church, that probably wouldn't be funny. Probably a lot of people would be like, yeah, they do need to put it back. Like, okay. Because we've created a culture where on that day and on many days, it's okay. Take as much as you want. We're here to serve you. Okay? Not saying that you then go and take as much as you want because you're trying to be an example. But again, it comes to that love that you're not trying to force something down somebody's throat. Okay? Next one. What do we have next?
Kindness.
Yes.
It's
love, joy, peace.
So I have gentleness, but
this is going in the real order.
In the Bible.
Kindness. Kindness is often another translation of it. Really, when people talk about gentleness or kindness, almost always the other word shows up. They go hand in hand a lot of times, okay? So, a lot of these things here that are fruits of the Spirit, you will also see that there are people who are just naturally gifted with these abilities. Sometimes they just are, okay? And that's a great thing that they are given that by God. And it's not there, though, just for them to use it. Sometimes they have they're gifted with it, so then you can watch them and learn how to do it better, since it might not come naturally. All right? And let me ask you this. Have you ever seen Cheryl Olson not be kind? Everybody knows who Miss Cheryl is, right? Almost everybody. Sorry, Madison. Okay? I'm sure that you couldn't think of a time when Mrs. Olson was not kind. Maybe Audrey can, I don't know. She is more of an inside scoop, but we won't go there. So, anyways, so even when she is correcting like a little kid or dealing with something that is probably frustrating, she cannot help but be gentle with them. That's just the way that she is. And that flows, that gentleness and that kindness that she has really flows out of a heart that follows after God. That's where it comes from. So let's look at the next one.
Goodness.
Okay. What do you think that one means?
Be good.
Being good people.
I'm pretty good. For the most part.
Bless you. I told you about this.
What do you think it means?
It means you're just.
Okay.
You're just. And you are.
Sierra.
Doing the right thing.
Doing the right thing. Okay. That's part of it. That's part of it. What do you think, Sierra? What does it mean to have goodness as one of the fruits of the Spirit that people find in your life?
Do what is right even though other people may not.
Okay. Yes.
Good.
That's definitely one side, and that's like the easy one, right? We're taught from the beginning what good and wrong means, okay? But what else do you think it might mean? What if you use goodness as, like you turn it into a verb?
Like goodness.
What about showing goodness? How about wanting good things for other people?
Oh, goodness. Love.
Right? It's one thing to want to do good and to be good yourself, but what about wanting other people to enjoy that state as well and helping them to get to that point? So extending goodness to others as well. All right. And that could be just as simple as someone wants to know where something is at Open House. And instead of just saying, oh, it's over there, up the driveway behind the church,
take them there.
Maybe take them there. I mean, not sometimes you might not have the chance, but if, maybe if you're doing nothing or nothing that's urgent, taking them there, going the extra step, okay? Wanting good things for them. Okay, so next one. What do we have next?
Faithfulness.
Does yours say faithfulness?
Well, no, but I'm saying
faith. Oh, faith. Okay. What'd you say?
Yeah, that was always Lenny's.
Because
that's what I was
Lenny's
saying.
What
was
Lenny's
saying?
Yes. They always said it like super fast.
What's faith, Lenny?
Believe in God's promises.
It is, yes. So that's what I have. I have belief in God's promises. You guys even got it before I asked, this is. So good job, guys.
We're good at that, right?
Okay. So what does that mean, though? How can you extend that to open house? To show people, how do you show that, or how do you exercise that faith?
You obey the Bible even though you don't know what's going to happen.
Yes, that's good. That's a part of it. So part of that, Jason, what are some things you should do?
Examples. Look away when a pretty girl walks by if you're going to lust.
Okay. What else?
Be honest even if you don't want to.
Okay, that's good.
Pray.
Pray, yes, that is what I have here. So, this is where prayer comes in, okay? Did you ever think about praying for open house? It's an important thing to do. So I'm going to tell you just a little story, and it's not about open house, but I think it can relate to it. Well, I know it can relate to it. So, some of you have been to the Halloween events that we do, and we usually do some sort of haunted house or haunted wood walk or something like that. And usually, and it always has another message, an underlying message about it, something that relates to spiritual things. And we actually did our first one that we did it while we were in Georgia. And while we were down there at that church, I can't even remember how we brought it up that we wanted to do it, but we had been studying Pilgrim's Progress in with the teens. How many of you know Pilgrim's Progress? A few of you, okay? It's like a parable, an allegory, kind of like Narnia, but more direct about spiritual things, about how your walk as a Christian, your journey to be along the path of being a Christian is. And we used that as our theme for our Halloween event. And we proposed this to the church that we were going to do it. And we were obviously going to need help to do it, right? There's a lot of work that goes into it. We had to get costumes. We had to build props. We had to have actors and actresses and guides and all that kind of stuff. And There were only, on a good Sunday, there were 30 people at the church, and that includes all the children.
Oh, wow, we have like 30 children.
Right. So, pretty hard to find people to help, right? If you need help. But we just decided we were going to do it, and we had lots of people that helped, and we even... and we started building stuff months in advance and making props and things like that. And it was a lot of late nights along of long hours and prepping for it. And people just kept volunteering to help with us. There was even, we'd ask somebody and they would go and find three or four more people without us even asking them for help. And the whole time we didn't know if it was going to work. If it was gonna, how many people were even gonna show up? Because we made it open to anybody who wanted to come. It wasn't just for the youth group. And during that time, we spent a lot of time praying about it beforehand. We prayed at prayer night with the church, prayed while I was painting dead flesh on severed heads for the Halloween event, all that kind of stuff as we went along. They were papier-mâché heads, just so you know. Not real ones. Yes, no, they were fake. So, and it came down to, we did the practice, a practice run through the day before, and we didn't even quite have all the people that we needed to show up that night. We were still short people for characters. But then it came to the night of, and more people showed up to help. We probably had about 50 people that came, that come through it, people that had never been to the church, people that had never done anything there. And the amount of stuff that people just did without asking, and just because we had faith and we prayed about it, that God would see it through, that it went off perfectly without any hitches. And there are many, many people who talked about how great it was. Both people who enjoyed just being scared and other people who enjoyed the deeper message of it. The message of the Christian walk behind it. And I had underestimated how much God had his hands in things. And it really didn't hit me until I was the last person, turned off all the lights, and I was driving out and was just going to close up the gate behind me to the camp that it was at, when it hit me how much God had his hand in it. Sometimes you get so bogged down in the details and the hustle and bustle that you don't realize what God's doing behind the scene. And a lot of times all those things that he brings together are because you asked him to do it. Because God tells you that if you ask, he'll give it to you. Because he wants good things for you. Okay? So, if you think that you don't have a big role in open house, if you think that you don't do much, whatever your job might be, you can always pray. It doesn't take anything extra. You can even do it all the way leading up. You don't have to do it on the day of. It's something you can do in preparation. And it can have a bigger impact than you think. All right, next one. What do we have next? Meekness. Okay, we talked about that. What's that mean?
Approachable.
Yes. Those are good. I gave you the answer earlier. What are you to be to everybody?
Kind.
Yes. Yes. What was Jesus to everyone? What role did he take on at the Last Supper? What did he do for everybody when they came in the house? Wash their feet. Whose job was that? The servant. And what did he say when Peter tried to do it?
No. No.
Yes. He said, no, you can't do it. I'm doing this. But what did he tell him that you have to be? Right. That if you want to be special, or if you want to be great, then you must be the servant of all. Okay? It's the opposite. It's one of those spiritual things where it's the opposite of what you would naturally think. You would naturally think, oh, I need to get ahead, I need to get up to the front and be the most important. Nope. It's the opposite. It's be a servant of all. All right, so that's meekness there. Okay, temperance. Does anybody have temperance in their Bible?
Yes,
but it also means self-control.
Yeah, mine says
it does.
Yes, I have it as well.
All right, so it means to be in control of your actions. in control of yourself, your emotions, your thoughts, your tongue, especially what you say. Be in control of yourself as a person in everything that you do. And really, that speaks to all the ones before it, right? Because all those things, you don't come by it naturally. You have to work at it. You have to train your body, train your spirit, train your mind into the mold that God has for you. Okay? So, here is the advantage, though, on the day of open house. What do you think the advantage is of that you have in showing your fruits of the Spirit?
We've been practicing.
I hope so, yes. But what's better? What's the great thing about sports games, about preparing for them? Practice. Or even a band concert? How about you know when it's going to be, right? What if you didn't know when it was going to be?
Then you just...
It'd be a lot. I mean, you wouldn't know when to practice really hard or when to exert your effort. And of course, the fruits of the Spirit, you should always be on your guard, always be doing your best. But especially for open house, you know when it is. You know what day it is. Everybody know what day it is?
Tuesday, July
21st. It is the third Sunday in July, always. And this year it's the 21st. You even know what time it is.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, at least
one of us knows what it is.
Good. And she lets you all know.
Thanks.
So it's easy to be prepared. It's an easy way to practice showing your fruits of the Spirit. And you know when to put your best foot forward. Excuse me. So it can help you to learn how to do it in all aspects of your life, okay? So I have one last thing, because I said at the beginning that there are two types of people, right? With the song, A Gift to Be Simple, what were the two types of people, the examples that I gave that might listen?
Yeah, good song.
Okay, there is a third type, and that is somebody, I'll give you a specific story, a real story, okay? You all right, Audrey? Okay, so there's a guy who I worked with, and we happened to be on a job together, and actually one of the other guys that worked with us, he told me when he first came, he jokingly, obviously they had talked about before, said, oh, he's an atheist. And it was like, oh, haha, like, and it wasn't awkward or anything, it was fine. And because the other guy who made that joke was a Christian, and we knew each other. And so it happened that me and this other guy, who was the atheist, we ended up working together, just me and him. And we ended up having long conversations about theology and philosophy on things and whatnot. And it just came up because he had asked at some point what church I went to. And he was like, oh, you guys have those old, like, penny days or whatever. And I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, and the pastor's son, wow, he really has an awesome voice. He's like, that guy can really sing. And that's about all he had to say about the church. But I do still see him every once in a while at open house. I will see him come, and he keeps coming back. There's something about it that he likes, whether it's just fun, whether he just likes the music. But there's something about it. Obviously, he hasn't had a bad experience that made him say, oh, I'm not going back there. There's something about it that he likes. And that's a good thing. It's okay if, you know, God has a timing for everything. Some people, the first time they come to open house, they're there the next Sunday and they don't leave. They found the church they like. There are some people that will come to open house for years and years and years. And then for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit moves in them and they choose to come. There are some people who may never come here. But maybe they will. That impact of us will just put a good taste in their mouth for the word Christian. Just because they don't come to our church doesn't mean they won't go to another one sometime. It's all, God can use things in ways that you don't even think is possible. So, that being said, it's important that you are always exuding the fruits of the Spirit. You know what it means to exude?
Show.
Work through.
It's just squeezing out of you. It can't be contained. It's just always coming out. All right? That's what you want to be like. You want to exude that joy, like you're happy to be there on open house. You don't want to look like you got dragged there and had to work all day. All right? You want to treat people with kindness, with gentleness, with patience, even when they can be frustrating. Because I bet you're frustrating to some people too sometimes. I know I am. So, whether you are handing out a drink to somebody, whether you are playing a song, or even just before you play the song, you're setting up stuff for the band or for the concert, or if you're driving a golf cart around, or you're just carrying things back and forth for other people. All those things are showing what type of character you have, showing the fruits of the Spirit that you have, and making people wonder how you're able to act like that. Okay? It's all about setting an example and being ready when somebody asks you about it. Okay. You never know when someone is going to ask you, tell me more about this church. Why do you do this? Why is everything just a penny? Do you have an answer for that one? You don't have to tell me. I mean, maybe you've got a great one. But those are the kinds of things that you just never know when that opportunity is going to come along. All right. Thank you very much.